Well, good evening, everybody. Good to see you all. We love you guys. We're excited to be continuing on this journey together through as we work our way through Psalm 91 for our nightly 9:30 live streams. As always, we want to hear from you guys. We love hearing from you guys. So feel free to comment, direct message us if you have any prayer requests, anything you like about the live stream, anything that you'd like to see. We want to cater to what you guys want while also fulfilling the purpose of this live stream, was just to fill Facebook with joy and light and Jesus Christ every night.
That's so right.
We love you guys. We appreciate you guys tuning in all the time and being patient with us through our technical difficulties. It's been interesting, but we're working our way through it, and God is good. So as always, you guys can reach us on the web at the www.theministrycompany.com, on Instagram at the Ministry Company, on Facebook at the Ministry Company. And we will be streaming a service Sunday night for all of you guys to tune in and see on Facebook and on YouTube. So tune in there at 5 p.m. on Sunday for when we will be releasing both of those videos. We'd also appreciate if you guys went and found us on YouTube, the Ministry Company, and subscribe to our channel just so you have the latest updates, but also so that we can actually live stream from that venue, because we need to reach 100 subscribers to fill that and like let that happen. So
that's right.
We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to have you guys subscribe and turn on your notifications, as our friend Carolina says.
As well, if you by any chance you have time, write a review for Ministry Company for what the church has been doing for you, and for on Facebook. This will kind of give a feedback for us, and on the same time is gonna give more information for people who are will be visiting the website. You know, God is good, you know, and God is gonna be blessing you with that, you know.
All right, well, we love you guys, and we love what's happening here. We love what God is doing and doing through us as we read through Psalm 91, as we continue learn, continue to work our way through the book, because there's knowledge and there's wisdom that comes with diving deeper into the Word, and we love doing that with Psalm 91. And yeah, so we'll just get going tonight. If you guys have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the Passion Translation, but you can read out of whatever translation you want. So if you guys want to read along with me, I'm Psalm 91, starting in verse 1 and reading all the way through. Psalm 91 says, "When you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God Most High. He's the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me and my great confidence. He will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy, and he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield, keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Whether by night or by day, demonic danger will not trouble you, nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in a time of disaster with thousands and thousands being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment, for they will be paid back for what they have done. When we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How then could evil prevail against us or disease infect us? God sends angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they'll be there for you and keep you from stumbling. You'll even walk unharmed amongst the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. That's for right. Here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you in a high place, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray, and you will find and feel my presence, even in your time of pressure and trouble.
That's right.
I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation."
Wow. Love thank it. You. Thank you, Jack. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you tonight for your presence, for your presence in our lives, Lord, that we know that you are with us. I just thank you that tonight we can look at the days that we are been living in this few weeks, Lord, and we know that we are in your arms, that we are being protected by you, Lord. And just thank you tonight that the word that you've given us, that this is your word, and it's the word to keeps us encouraged, that keeps us motivated to live every day today and to have our hope in you, Lord. We just bless your name. We bless your name. We bless the people who are watching or listening this podcast, that they will be blessed to the abundance, that they will be overflowing in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
So we kind of looked at the first part in the Passion Translation in my Bible and in Pablo's Bible. 9 and 10 are joined together, but in other versions, they may be separate. So we kind of looked at the first half yesterday.
That's right.
Verse 9, kind of choppy due to video, but verse 9 nonetheless. But tonight we're going to kind of be focusing on verse 10.
So the second part, yes, of what it says.
Yep. So
would you read it?
Yeah. So the New King James Version says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling."
Wow. And like when I was reading this verse still yesterday and kind of reflecting on how God is always protecting his people from any danger of the enemy and anything that is going on, you know, and it came across my mind, the Holy Spirit kind of reminded me of the story that is written on Book of Exodus. And if you have your Bible with you, let's just turn into, we're going to post all the passages where we are reading from, but let's turn into Exodus chapter 10. And it's really interesting that the story goes, it's about the Israelites being in Egypt and in slavery for 400 years. And God was speaking that, you know, this is the time when they have to be freed up and they have to go back to the promised land where he first intended to their great-grandfather Abraham, where they needed to be, you know, dwelling and what they needed to possess and redeem that land. So God raised up this man, his name was Moses, and said, "You have one mandate, is to bring my people back to the land of Canaan, to the land that I promised to your ancestor, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses comes and starts telling the people, and they're like, "Okay, we don't really believe you much." But they, on the end, they start believing him. Then he goes to Pharaoh and tells him, like, "Listen, you have to let my people go, to go and worship, go back to the land where they belong." And he didn't really want it to do that. And but this is the thing, what I want to kind of explain too, that God was given to Pharaoh and to the Egyptian people 10 different opportunities to do so. And the nine ones, they were kind of, "Yes, we'll let you go. But then, no, we are not going to let you go. We're going to give you these requirements. You're going to leave just with your kids, but not with your staff." But Moses said, "No, when we're going to leave, we're going to all leave. There's going to be not even a cattle left. Like, we're going to take all our sheep, everything, we're going to go."
Yeah.
And what kind of attached the first thing is, like, remember how I was telling on previous podcast that everywhere in the Bible and every single chapter of the Bible, we can find Jesus. As I was preparing for this podcast, I was reading chapter 11, but then kind of put my eyes on chapter 10. And specifically in verse 22, it says, "So Moses stretched out his hand toward the heaven, and there was a thick darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. Did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from the place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling." Wow. So it's like, as soon as I read that, it's like, wow, those are the 3 days when Jesus was, just a comparison, the 3 days when Jesus was in the grave, but still the light of God still was shining upon the people who were following him, who are the faithful to God, who are worshiping one true God. So Psalm 91 verse 10, it says, "Nor the evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling." So the story about plagues coming to the dwellings of the people, it's the first what comes to my mind, that's Israelites, the 10th plague that was coming to the Egyptians, so they would let Israelites to go to Canaan. And God is just giving this mandate to Moses and just saying, "Listen, this is what is going to happen." Exodus chapter 11 verse 7 says, but again, he is explaining the things that this is what's going to happen. We can go from verse 4
from 11. Okay. Yeah. So Moses said, "This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. from the firstborn son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn son of the female slave who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel.
Wow. The thing is, what I want to really touch on the, at this point is that God was making a distinction that there will be a difference between the people who worship true God and the people who are worshiping animals, or because that's what the Egyptians were worshiping. They were worshiping sun, they were worshiping death and the moon and the different animals. They were making gods with the heads of different animals. So God is detesting those things, you know, like any idol, God is detesting, but especially when we are worshiping the creation and not the creator. So God said, I'm going to make a difference, and everybody going to see this difference. And the difference is that God is, he is like, there's nothing going to come against you. And if you read now chapter 12 from the beginning.
Yep. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats.
Thank you. So the first few thoughts about that story, again, continuing, it says that this month shall be the beginning of your month. So what was happening in this exit of Israelites from Egypt, that was the beginning of the time, beginning of the era. And even today, I heard some of the commentaries on Instagram from some of the pastors, and they said this is going to be the beginning of the new way how the church is done, because the way how we live in through this moment of pandemic, there's going to be a different time. So you know, he was actually saying, you know, like we strive to have in our churches the lights, the instruments, the beautiful buildings, the beautiful chairs and everything. And he is like, you know, and now in the time of this pandemic, they're just sitting there empty.
Right.
So this pastor said, it's like, now we actually have to reflect and put our, not even priorities, but it's like, what is the value of the church is? Because it's not about the smoke machines and the lights anymore, because you cannot even use them. No, it's not about the comfortable chairs or pews. It's not about this is my chair to sit or this is somebody else's chair to sit. You know, it's like this is not about my parking spot anymore. This is about what am I going to feed myself with? And this is what God is saying in Exodus chapter 12, that this is the month of the beginning. This is the month of the beginning when the church is going to reevaluate the values of the way how we operated our churches, or the way how we did the church, because this is what is coming next. And then he's saying that he is choosing the lamb. So God is placing, again, chapter 12, there's a reflection of Jesus. God is giving them a mandate to Israelites. You're going to choose the lamb. And what kind of lamb it was? It was the lamb without any blemish, and it had to be a male. So it's interesting. It's like to the point that had no defects and had to be a male.
Right.
So when Jesus comes years after this event that is described in Exodus, he obviously was male, but on top of that, he was a man with no blemish, no defects, even though people were trying to find defects in him, they could not find it until his death. There was nothing found of the defect of him. And if you can read from 6 all the way to 11,
yep,
including 11.
Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover.
Wow. So when we look, it says that this lamb will be killed at twilight, so around 3 to 4 p.m., depends of the time of the year, but Passover is usually on that time where the sun is not really high. So this is the thing. Jesus actually died at twilight as well. So when we are reflecting on the time when Jesus was dying on the cross, it was the very same moment when all the lambs were sacrificed in the temple. And that's, again, God doesn't have things that God doesn't do things just because. God always does things the way how they need to be done, the proper way, and in the time and in accordance to the scripture and to the prophets. And it's the same way when, like, why I'm focusing a lot about this, because this gives me a confidence, this gives me hope when I'm reading the Bible and when I'm looking at the promises what God has given me. I can be sure that God will do it because he operates in his time, and his time is perfect and is really intricate. Then it says that you will put the blood in the doorpost and the lintel of the house. So again, that kind of signifies as a cross. That's the second addition to what is going to happen to Jesus. Now it says it will be roasted in fire. So we need to go through the fire of God that will clean ourselves, will purify. So he did not want any bacteria in that meat. He wanted fully cooked, that would not have anything raw or anything that would harm them for their way. And even like even if you're looking, it's unleavened bread. So they would not be like bloated and everything else. Like, you know, it just was like really preparing for this, the route that they're going to be taking through the next morning. And then if you look, he is telling them that they need to be eating, they need to be preparing. And this is all the preparation of that night where the pestilence, when the angel of death just cross over the whole Egypt. And God is saying, listen, you need to be, it says, thus you shall eat, and this is how you would eat. You will eat with the belt on your waist. So it's not like, oh, I don't know what to wear or what should I wear. Like, no, you have to be wearing the garment that God is speaking about, the spiritual, you were speaking about the armor of God, no? So you have to be wearing the full armor of God,
right,
in that time. So with the belt, with the sandals on your feet, so ready to go. So be dressed, be ready to go, and your staff in your hand. So what that means, with the authority, because the staff was given the authority to the shepherd to defend themselves or to direct the sheep. So this is the time when we are going through this time, and when this pestilence, this virus is all going to go, just pass over our houses. We need to be with the belt, so on our way. So we have to be guarded with our clothes, with our sandals of the feet. So we have to be go and ready to be spreading the gospel, and with our staff in our hand, with the authority of Jesus in our life. So be,
that's right,
be confident that God is calling us to do this job.
Yeah.
And it says, and you should eat in haste. So this is what it means, that there would not be a lot of time like this, what we are living right now. This is the time to get ready. This is the time to nourish ourselves. This is the time that we will build up ourselves. We will get stronger and stronger. This is the time, you know, to pray, to fast, to reflect on what is God's, you know, and to be ready on the time that when we gonna need to just go out and reach as many people as we can, because the time is short.
That's right.
And if you can read verse 13 and 14.
Okay. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance.
Wow. So again, what he is saying here, that this blood that was sprinkled on the, or like painted over the doors of the houses, the blood of Jesus that it's in you, that it's over the doors of your house, over the doors of your heart, this blood, it's a sign. So the pestilence, the plague will just pass over it, or just will just roll over it. It would not strike you, but will strike the land of Egypt. Mm. And this is the confidence. This is the promise that God put there. And it is a reflection of the days we are living right now, because you are marked by the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
You are the one who is washed in the blood of Jesus. And no enemy, no plague will touch you, because
that's right. Yeah.
You are confident in him.
Yeah.
And it says that this should be a memorial. So this is something that we need to remember every single day. And even says, and it's throughout your generations. So again, it's speaking about this, what we have right now in our hearts, that we are covered by the blood of Jesus, that we're covered by him, this relationship that we have with him. This is not only for us, but it's for our children and their children. It's for the generations to come. And it says that this is the everlasting ordinance. So it's not just an ordinance for today or tomorrow for 100 years, but it's until today. So when we look at this event that happened, of the Passover night, this happened years, thousands and thousands of years ago. And now we are speaking this as this is happening for us today. This is how Bible is. And this is how we can see that the Bible is, it's a living word of God. That is, it's fresh every day and it's for every day, because God is the God who does not operate in time. For him, right now, in at 10 o'clock at night in London, Ontario, on March 26, it's the same as 5,000 years ago or 5,000 years from now, because God is not operating in time. And this is really important for us to know when we read the Bible, that the Bible is written in time, but it's not, it's timeless.
Yeah.
And it's applicable at any page of this book. It's applicable for our life every day.
Yeah.
If you look farther more, it would be the verse 22.
Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood of the in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning.
Wow. So even there, did you see what God was giving them? Is like, you should not go out until the morning.
Yeah.
So when we are talking about the self-isolation and all that stuff, right there, you see?
Yeah.
Right there, God speaks about the self-isolation. He says, this is what you need to do with the door, but you should not go out. And this is the thing. The government mandates us to do this and to stay at home. Even if, let's say, for us, what was happening, we only interact with people that we interact, we don't interact with newer people. So it's like only really small circle. We probably in the last, week and a half, it was only maybe 20, 25 people in total that we've been interacting. And this is to obey the law what in this country. And this is what they're trying. They are trying to implement for us so we would not be interacting with people outside of our circle. So even when somebody gets sick from outside of the circle, that will not come into the circle of people who are interacting usually. And this is what the Bible was speaking actually in Exodus as well, that you should not go out until the morning. And verse 23, Jack.
Verse 23 says, when the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway. He will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and strike you down.
Wow. And this is the thing. He's saying that he will not allow the destroyer to enter your house.
That's right.
Or to strike your house. And this is where we're going to end this podcast, that he will not allow the destroyer.
That's right.
To come into your house.
Yeah.
And the destroyer will just pass over. Yeah. This is the time of Passovering.
Yeah.
The destroyer, the calamities that is going in this world, the viruses that is going on, they're just going to pass over, because we're going to remain in him. We're going to remain in his dwelling place, that is in the arms of God Almighty.
Yeah.
And I just want to finish this with praying for you, for just understanding that how God it's speaking to us through every single page of this beautiful book of Bible. Yeah. How in every single page, in every single chapter, there is a reflection of Jesus, and you can find that he is there, that he is alive. And I just want to confirm this thing, that when God is speaking to you, when God is speaking to your spirit, those words are faithful, and he's always holds on to his words. And regardless of the time that you were going, and maybe sometimes you were questioning, but God, you spoke to me about a few years ago, and I didn't see this thing to happen yet. And you're questioning and saying, God, why is all these things did not happen? God has an answer, and he says, I am faithful to my words. You have to remain faithful. You have to remain until the end. I spoke to Noah, and 75 years passed until it came to reality. I spoke to Abraham, and years passed until it came to reality. But there is one thing in common between those two men and many others in the Bible. That's perseverance and staying strong in the Word of God. Yeah. So I just want to bless you right now. I want to pray for you. And I want to say, Father God, I just thank you. Thank you for your Word tonight. I thank you that you're remaining faithful to us. You're remaining the way how you always wanted to be, with love, with the desire for your people to be close to you and to have a relationship with your creation, with us, with the humans. You wanted and you always desire to have relationships. So tonight I just pray that this relationship that we have with you, that will come to faithfulness, and that come that you will protect us from any calamities coming towards us, or any sickness or any virus or any plague that is striking our cities, Lord. And right now, as I'm praying, it's just coming to me to pray for the country, our neighboring country, United States. Lord, you just see how many people are sick in that country, Lord, and every day there is multiplying. And I just pray that you will bring peace to that country. You will bring peace to the people of United States, because there's lots of people are praying to you, Lord. And I just want you to show the faithfulness that you are stronger than any sickness or any plague, Lord. Pray right now for our government, that you will give them the understanding, and you already give them wisdom how to stop all this sickness to be spread in our country, Lord. I just praise you that you are giving them the understanding, Lord. And I pray right now even more that you will give them strength to remain faithful, that you will give them strength to our prime minister and to our ministers of our provinces, Lord, that they will be taking decisions to save people, Lord, not to be saving their egos or saving their financial things, but to save people, because people are the one that you are cherishing them the most, because you send your son from heaven to die for the people, for the humanity, for all the nations, Lord. And I just praise you that in this time of despair of all the human race, that your love is being enduring forever, and your love is being increasing day by day, Lord. And I just pray right now for people who need peace in their heart, Lord. I just pray right now that the peace that surpasses all understanding will come to their hearts, Lord. And I pray right now for people who are going into desperate moments and desperate times, Lord, that you will be providing for their needs, that you will be providing the answers that they need, that you will be bringing the health to their brains, that people who may be going through depression and anxiety right now, Lord, I just cast out all the anxiety and depression in the name of Jesus, that people will be remaining strong in your word, Lord. We just bless everyone in the name of Jesus. Amen.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Well, we love you guys. We want to hear from you guys. Feel free to message us or comment on this post. With anything that you'd like to let us know. We really love you guys. We appreciate you guys sticking with us and listening to what we have to say.
That's right.
We appreciate you guys. Remember to turn on those post notifications. And yeah.
And there we will be posting about the link for the YouTube channel for Sunday 5 p.m. We're going to go live with church service. The church is not canceled. The church has just moved location. Again, for ministry company, it's not something new. We are already used to it, to a lot of changes. So this is one of the other changes that we're going to live. And I really miss you guys. I really miss you. I miss to interact with every one of you. And God bless you. I'm going to start crying.
All right. Well, have a good night, guys. We're praying for you guys, and we love you. Bye now.
Bye-bye.